everybody. John Loomer with johnloomer.com and John Loomer Digital on Facebook. And welcome to John Loomer Talks, as I talk about how you can use Facebook marketing to make a difference for your business. And today, man, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Lots of controversy swirling around Facebook. We're going to get to as much as I can. I'm going to talk about this Facebook email address issue that everyone's talking about and making what I think is too big of a deal of it, which is no surprise when anyone's talking about Facebook controversy. Additionally, we're going to talk about, I did a little study on frequency of Facebook posts and whether, you need to watch how frequently you're posting, if that you're going to have negative impact from edge rank, your reach is going to go down, that kind of thing. Some really interesting findings there. I'm going to talk about Power Editor, which, even though it's been around for a while, I really haven't been using it because I actually haven't had great experiences with it when I've tried it before. But I didn't even understand that there were some benefits to using it instead of the typical Facebook ad manager. There's some really, really big reasons why you should look to use it, and I'll get to that in a minute. And finally, if we have time, and I'll try to keep this to under 30 minutes, I'm going to talk about this amazing infographic and study done by Dan Zarella of HubSpot, where he talks about, what, when, and how to post on Facebook. And so see what we can get to. So let's start from the top. This amazing, incredible Facebook email address controversy. So as you have probably heard by now, when you go to your profile, within the about area, there's some ways that people can contact you. And it'll display an email address or two or whatever it is you decided to display there. And what Facebook decided to do is hide, because as you know, you can surface items, not necessarily make them private, but you can choose to either make them viewable on your profile or not, or timeline, I guess, technically. And that has nothing to do with privacy, it's just visibility. There is a difference. There's a reason I bring that up. I'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, Facebook decided to hide what you previously showed displayed as your main email address and instead display the Facebook email address. So for me, that is johnloomer@facebook.com. And the funny thing about this email address, it's really not an email address at all. Yes, it's a way for someone to send in the email and contact me, but all it is, it's not like I access this email somewhere and go into some new email account. It's just your Facebook messages. That's all it is. So when someone sends an email to johnloomer@facebook.com, it goes into my Facebook messages. It just looks like someone had sent me a Facebook message the way they typically would. So that's all it is. So the question is, does it matter? It seems like everybody, big media outlets freaking out about this. I think, I apologize, I need to check this, but I believe it was the New York Times who was hung up on, because the Facebook explanation was that it wasn't a privacy issue, that it was a change of visibility. And they were just dumbfounded by that explanation. But it's absolutely true. And let me give you an example. So on my profile, my timeline, I was previously featuring, I believe it was my Gmail email address. And I had my Facebook address as for me only, so no one could see it but me. That said, even though I had three or four email addresses, the only one I showed on my profile or my timeline was a Gmail one. The others were hidden from view. But the privacy, you can still find it, I'm sure, somehow. It's just a matter of whether it was hidden. The others were hidden, at least temporarily or whatever. I don't know. But so this is the thing. When Facebook made the change, yes, that Facebook email address was now featured on my profile. a Gmail one disappeared. However, that did not change anything about privacy. When you or anybody else, any of my friends, non-friends, doesn't matter, went to my profile, they would not have seen that Facebook email address because they are not me, and I already had my privacy set as only me. So all it meant was my Gmail email address disappeared, which, if anything, it made things more private. I mean, come on. But yes, I understand it's annoying. I don't completely understand why they did it. It really makes no sense. So you think about usability and value. Why in the world would I care what you, if I'm on Facebook and I want to know how to contact you, why in the world would I care what your Facebook email address is? If I want to send you a Facebook message, I'll just send you a Facebook message. It's just silly. I don't get it. But anyway, it's a really easy fix. It's not permanent. You just go into your about area and you edit, and you just click to display where previously said hide for your email address. And then for your Facebook email address, you just change that to hide if you want to hide it. I mean, really, you could just show them all. It doesn't matter. And you just have set different privacy for each one. Not that big of a deal. Everyone's freaking out, of course, because it's Facebook. And it's I'm not saying this because, you know, Facebook is my line of work, I guess. But I just don't understand the blow up. I understand being annoyed. I don't understand freaking out. But maybe that's just my personality. I don't like to freak out. But anyway, so that's my point on that. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. I felt like it needed to be said. I mean, I didn't write a whole blog post about it because it's not, I'm kind of trying to get out of that, talking about more personal and privacy issues and focus more on business use of Facebook. But so much been going on about it that I did bring it up on my Facebook page, and I felt like we needed to talk about it today. So that's out of the way. Next up, I did a little study recently about the correlation between frequency of your Facebook posts and to your reach, basically, and edge rank. Because we're often told that we should limit the amount we post. I mean, there's some validity to this, but I've even seen, though, the sweet spot, they say, is posting 2 to 3 times per week. Now, if you like my Facebook page, you probably chuckle a little bit because regularly I'm posting, especially during the week, 2 or 3 times. Sometimes even we'll post 4 or 5 times. Rarely post more than that. But anyway, I thought, you know, and I do look at my Facebook insights. I don't obsess over them, but I know how to use them, and this was a good opportunity for me to see, okay, is this true? If it's true that my reach goes down, if it's true that edge rank will negatively impact my posts, Facebook will say, that's enough. You posted too much today. Reach will go down. And this is a whole nother issue that I'm going to get to here in a minute as well. I'm going to go off the grid and talk about edge rank as well in a second. So I want to see, all right, for days in which I only posted once, was my reach higher than on days when I posted twice, 3 times, 4 times, or 5 times? And if you could see that trend, then yes, maybe there's a direct correlation. And what I found, so I did a test from April 11th to June 24th, took my data. I also removed stuff because I wanted to focus on organic reach. So I didn't want to be impacted by any ads that I ran, because I do run some ads. I also didn't want to be impacted by any of my targeting. So especially when I was scheduling posts in the middle of the night for other countries in different time zones, I did not want to include that because I was only targeting a small portion of my audience. Obviously, my reach is going to be lower in those cases. So what we ended up with was, during that time, I posted once 19 times. I had 2 daily posts 23 times, 3 daily posts 12 times, 4 daily posts 6 times, and 5 daily posts 4 times. Obviously, you are looking at smaller sample size issues with more posts, but I still think we have some pretty valuable info here. What I found, it was virtually no change whatsoever in my reach percentage. I say reach percentage, I think it's important to distinguish because the reach you get is a raw number. And to say, oh, I reached more people on this one than that one doesn't necessarily say a whole lot because what you got to have some frame of reference. And I can add my frame of reference is reach versus total number of likes. So what's the percentage of my fans that I reached? And I saw virtually no change whatsoever. And in fact, I was seeing that on the days that I posted 3 times in a day, I actually had the greatest reach. Now, I don't think you should necessarily take anything from that. It's very small variance. I think you can look at just a random, just kind of random thing. Because there was no trend. It wasn't like going 1 up to 2. It was 1 and 2 times were basically the same. 3 went up just by like a percentage and a half. And then 4 and 5 were just kind of random as well. But what was obvious was it definitely wasn't going down. My reach was definitely not going down as a result of posting more often. And again, as a reminder, when I say reach wasn't going down, I'm saying reach per post. So obviously you're going to reach more people over a given day when you post 5 times in a day, but I'm talking about per post. So that's an important distinction. So one other thing I wanted to look at was, what about negative feedback? So sure, I'm reaching the same amount of people no matter what. EdgeRank isn't hurting me. But what about negative feedback? Because that is a real concern that you're going to start ticking people off if you're posting too often. They're going to unlike your page. They're going to hide that single post, or they're going to hide all posts by you. And you want to avoid that. I mean, it's inevitable, but you don't want it to happen more often, too often. And what I found was there was a very slight increase from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, and 4. Actually, just 3 to 4, and at 5 it went down. But again, I think that was just kind of random. But it was so slight. It's one of those risks. But I buy it. I buy that it probably does go up. But it's so slight that you've got to take the risk involved and say, is it worth it? And for me, I don't post frivolously. And I still think, you need to make sure that you don't post like a crazy person, that you provide value. And if you've got something important to say, say it. Yes, someone's not going to like it. Yes, someone's going to hide you, dislike you, all that kind of stuff. But from what I found, it's just not enough of a difference to really take it, make it much of a concern. So that's what I found out there. In other words, post away. Don't be worried about this talk about posting too frequently. You're still going to reach your fans the same amount. And really, that your focus shouldn't be necessarily on frequency in terms of how often you're reaching your fans. It should be on times of day and usage patterns of your fans. These are the kinds of things you can pull out of your insights. So you can find lots of information on that on my website, johnloomer.com. I write about it quite often. All right, so we took a little tangent in the beginning of that when I was talking about EdgeRank, and I want to get to something here real quick because this came up in one of my discussions when somebody wrote about EdgeRank. Oh, I think it was Likeable Media. They wrote a great little thing about the myths of EdgeRank. Or no, it was the myths of page posts ads, or promoted posts, I'm sorry. The myths of promoted posts. And they had talked about EdgeRank and whatnot. And one of my comments in there, something that I feel like is missed often when talking about EdgeRank. Everybody talks about the negative impact of EdgeRank and how just quick explanation, EdgeRank is the algorithm Facebook has for you're determining what's important to you. And it could be some content, if there's a page that you interact with frequently, they'll be more likely to surface that content to you, especially within the top news instead of the most recent. But additionally, if there is content that a lot of people are interacting with, edge rank goes up and you'll be more likely to see it. So first thing, that's what it is. Second thing is, I've done studies before where I don't think that significantly impacts your reach. But the third thing is, everyone focuses on the negative. I have never once seen or read anything about how this may actually help you. Well, let's think about that. So we focus on the person's online, you post it, they don't see it because of edge rank. Yes, okay. What about the flip side of this? How about if you create great content that people interact with? It's going crazy. Everyone's commenting, liking, or whatever. But this one fan wasn't online when you posted it. They didn't come online until 12 hours later, and that post should be dead. But what's at the top of their news feed when they come on? This post that you made 12 hours ago. That helps you. So in my mind, EdgeRank, the negative, positive, whatever, it's all a wash. And that's why when I say, you know, you only reach 16% of your fans, I almost completely discard EdgeRank because I think it's a wash. I really do. I think it helps you. I think it hurts you. It evens out in the end. The reason why you're not reaching your fans is because of them not being online to see your post, period. And that's why you should consider promoted posts and other advertising to reach them. To make sure you get there. So, and also make sure you use your insights to understand when they're online and when the optimal times are. So I want to make sure I talked about that because that's been bugging me. I feel like no one's talking about it. And to be honest with you, I should probably write a blog post about it. So I think it's coming. All right, let's get to the next thing. Power Editor. Now this is one of those things that it's a tool Facebook created about a year ago. It's a free tool they created to help you bulk edit Facebook ads and campaigns, which is, you know, it's kind of cool, little functionality, whatever. I had tried it before, found it to be clunky. You also have to download everything from Facebook ads, from the Facebook Ads Manager, if you had used that before, since you last used the Power Editor. And then when you're done creating or editing, whatever, you then have to upload everything. And sometimes it just seems like it wasn't very responsive. And I just kind of thought it was a piece of crap. But then this is what happened. In the beginning of June, there started to be these reports of you can now advertise within mobile devices. You can create Facebook ads for mobile devices. Like, wow, that sounds pretty cool. Or you can choose to create Facebook ads that only show up in news feeds. Now, this is outside of promoted posts. I knew you could with promoted posts, but I was like, oh, you can create sponsored stories within news feeds. Cool. And you can choose whether those sponsored stories go within news feeds of either desktops or mobile devices or both. Awesome. But I kept going back to my Facebook ad manager on Facebook.com. And I had no access to this. And I was completely confused. Nothing I read explained how to access this stuff. And finally, I figured it out. These features are only available on the Facebook Power Editor or through the Facebook Advertising API. So if you use a third-party tool that utilizes the Facebook Advertising API, you'd have access to those as well. So the Power Editor, like I said, was usually known as being a bulk editor, which is kind of cool, but it's also a Chrome plugin. So you can only access it through Chrome. And really, to be honest with you, I don't really see it as a great tool in and of itself, but these features that I've mentioned are all pretty critical. And there was also something else that I noticed. If you read my stuff, which I know you do, one of my big pet peeves recently was around this new optimized advertising. You can create a Facebook ad, set the objective for likes of my page, and Facebook would optimize it to target people most likely to click on your ad. And I was having big issues with that, especially overseas, where it was seeming like everyone who was clicking on my ads, they were serial likers who had no interest in what I was doing. I didn't want to optimize my ads anymore. I just wanted to do it the old CPM way, which I had a lot of success with previously. But when they created these new optimized ads, you no longer could use just regular old CPM. No longer could bid on ads. So I was angry. I was annoyed. And then I found out within the Power Editor, you could use the regular old CPM method. Once again, with sponsored stories. So I was excited to find that. So now what I've been doing when I'm creating campaigns is I'll run multiple ads, some of them that are optimized, some of them that are not, some of them are mobile, some of them are in desktop, some are in news feeds, all these different options just to see what works the best. And I'm actually like a kid in the candy store right now. I'm happy to have all those options back, and including some new ones. So make sure you check out the Facebook Power Editor. I think you'll be happy with what you find. All right, next up, Dan Zarella, very well-known social media dude from HubSpot. He's created a fantastic infographic. He did some analysis of data, more than 1.3 million posts by top 10,000 Facebook pages. And he found some really, interesting information that went completely against what we've been told before about, how to post, when to post, and what to post to be most successful. He talked about how photos were great for engagement. I think we all know that. And while I think we always kind of saw links as being down near the bottom, it was so bad. It made me question whether I should share links at all. And it makes sense. I mean, especially since the engagement for photos is getting so much better because, the size of photos are getting larger and it's just more fun to engage with them. And photos have this, and maybe they should improve this, to be honest with you, but photos have this little thumbnail. And to be honest, a lot of the times when people share links, it's just they are often automated with RSS, and it's just formatting's poor and whatever. But I've also found that my engagement is not as good with links as it is with photos, so it's something to look at. But anyway, and I would strongly encourage you, and I've been doing more of this lately, but create a photo that or image that represents the link that you want to share. So then share that photo. And then within your description, paste in that the link. So there's still a way to use links in that way. Next thing that I found that I thought was interesting, I believe this old, I'm almost positive, this old study came from Buddy Media, that to be most successful, you should post short posts under 80 characters, which is very difficult to do. But what Dan found that yes, short posts were effective for engagement, for likes, but if you posted really long, extra long posts, you're going to get more shares. And I thought that was interesting, and it makes sense because sure, you might not get as many people reading and liking, but if you're really writing, taking some time to write out a long post, it could be thought-provoking, and it's going to generate a lot of response. So those who actually do read it are probably going to comment on it. They're going to share it. So very, very interesting. That's just not something that we've been told all along. It's complete opposite. So I thought that was interesting. Something else, they always say that Facebook marketing, it's not about you. It's about your customer. And what Dan came up with, saying using I or me in your post actually gets more likes. And, God, it does make sense. And let me explain why. when you use the words I or me, and when you're for your brand, you're showing a personal side. So it's not necessarily promoting I or me, my stuff. It's not, you know, selling my product. It's just talking about my experiences and my obstacles and my problems and, you know, my wins and, you know, all these things. So in opinions, it really comes down to opinions. So I get it. It makes sense. So show a personal side. Don't be afraid to use I or me in your posts. You may actually get some good response there. So and along the lines of having an opinion, what Dan also found was being controversial is good. So being negative actually gets you more shares. But also, you know, being positive is good too. But actually having some sort of opinion to generate discussion, and people are much more willing to respond to something that's maybe a little controversial, but something that that they may either strongly agree with or disagree with. And so feel free, don't be afraid to share your opinions. You're going to get best response out of that stuff. Even when you get angry people, that helps you. So don't be controversial for the sake of being controversial, but be yourself. Finally, Dan did something that's, I see a lot of this. I see a lot of people looking for the sweet spot to post. And he basically said that after analyzing all this data, the ideal time to post and get shares and likes and all this business seemed to be a sweet spot between like 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern. And I just kind of sighed because, look, the people reading this, first of all, with a page, live in the Eastern time zone, Central, Mountain, Pacific. They live in Europe. They live in Asia. They live in Australia. They live everywhere. And this doesn't necessarily apply to you. It also depends on not only where I live, but where you live. And I've just found there's no real true sweet spot for me. I mean, I analyze my data, and I've found that yes, my posts do pretty well between 6 and I believe it's 10 my time, which is 8 noon Eastern or 7 noon Eastern. Actually, no, it's 7 and 10 Eastern, I'm sorry, and then noon and 2 p.m. Eastern, and then later in the afternoon. But I've also found that occasionally I post in the middle of the night in target countries overseas in Europe and Asia, etc. Those do quite well, too. So really, it's about knowing your audience. It's about analyzing your data, your insights, knowing when they're online, knowing when you get the best responses. You just can't use a generic time and say everyone should post at this time. The first thing that happens when you say that, everyone's going to post at that time, and you're going to be competing with thousands of other pages posting at the exact same time. So don't fall for that garbage. I mean, Dan meant well, but it's a blanket solution that does not apply to everybody. It really only applies to people who, in my opinion, have a large audience in the Eastern time zone. But so really, you know when the best time is to post. So that is that. And that's where I'll leave this. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to me talk and lose my voice here a couple times. Love talking about Facebook. I love talking about how you can make a difference with Facebook marketing. So please continue to follow along on johnlumber.com. I post regularly there. Like my page, facebook.com/johnlumberdigital. Subscribe to my newsletter. Subscribe to this podcast. And let's stay in touch. If you have any questions going forward, I'm always easy to get a hold of. I'd love to start using your questions more in the future, as kind of fodder for these podcasts. So that's it. Enjoy the rest of your week, And I'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.